This is the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark Howard alongside. Blaine's out this morning. So is Jonathan Schaefer. Got our guy Morgan Alexander behind the glass. Time for one of our favorite spots every week. We bring in our guy Brent Hubbs. He, of course, the main man with BallQuest.com. Talk Tennessee for a couple segments. Brent, what's going on this morning?
Not much, guys. How are y'all?
We're good. We were talking about Keith Bullock earlier playing for Syracuse, and then that led to us talking about the Tennessee-Syracuse game in '98 to start the championship season. You know, it wasn't like they just steamrolled everybody to the title that year. More memorable games, I guess, against Florida and Arkansas, of course, that season. But, you know, that Syracuse game, a one-point game that was the springboard for the rest of that championship year.
Well, I don't think anybody knew going in just how good Syracuse was. And you go back and look at that Syracuse team, and Keith Bullock's fantastic player. You obviously had Donovan McNabb. Quentin Spotwood was a wide receiver. They had a lot of talent on that Syracuse team. Really hot in the dome. You know, one of the things that I remember about that game so much is Tennessee dealt with so many cramps in that game. They had guys falling out right and left because it was so hot. It was so humid in there. That's when creatine was kind of first making its appearance. You know, a lot of guys were taking creatine in the summer for muscle build and everything else. And the side effect of that was a lot of cramping. And Tennessee really fought attrition in that game. I think if you'd have told any of us that saw that team in the preseason that Tennessee was going to score 34 points or whatever they ended up scoring in that game, we would have all laughed at you. Because, I mean, I watched the scrimmage. I think it was Tennessee's second scrimmage of the preseason in August. That's back when Coach Fulmer had all the practices open and the scrimmages were open. And Tennessee offensively couldn't make a first down in the scrimmage. What we didn't realize is how good Tennessee's defense was, because if you'd covered Tennessee the three previous years, it was all about offensive show because you had Peyton Manning.
And right.
Tennessee was putting up all these numbers, and all of a sudden, they can't make a first down. And so your thought process is, this may be one of the worst offenses in the history of modern football. Now, what it turns out to be was that defense was really good, and it took them a little while to get T. Martin in gear. He made enough plays in that game, threw a great touchdown pass to Peerless Price, obviously did some things with his feet. Jamal Lewis was a man, and Tennessee's defense made enough plays. And that was kind of a survival game, and he left that game. He thought, you know what, this team might find a way to win. You know, 8, maybe 9 football games, and then the next thing you know, they just kept finding ways to win, and then it all really clicked at Georgia, and they took off from there.
So did the radio crew share some creatine before the game started?
No, we drank a lot of pickle juice, though.
Oh.
Because that prevents cramping. If a radio crew's got to climb a few flights of stairs to get into a booth or anything like that, I mean, we're going to cramp up, so we got to have some pickle juice or something to help us out. We don't move very well. None of us get into game shape over the summertime, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember no telling how many times I heard John Ward say that pickle juice was a key to a broadcast.
Pickle juice and blue towels.
That's right. As far as the here and now, talking recruiting a bit, how big of a get is Maryville's T. Hodge for this 2020 class?
Well, yeah, I think what's interesting about T. I think it's a good get. I think what's interesting with him is he has changed physically a great deal. He's carrying 225 pounds, I guess, something like that. He's probably put on 25 pounds since the end of last year, but he's carrying it well. He's run well at every camp he's been at. He's a guy who's got great work ethic. And I think from a local flair and a local player, Tennessee wants two running backs in this class. They like a bigger back, and then they're looking for kind of a playmaker, scamp back kind of guy. I think he makes a lot of sense. I really do. And it's really interesting because he went to Tennessee for an unofficial visit. He went to Florida State for an unofficial visit and really didn't get into the whole, you know, get in a car and go see 9 schools in 4 days and all that kind of stuff. Very low-key recruitment, and just decided that he was ready to have it over with and ready to be done. He's good friends with Cooper Mays, Tyler Barron, Keyshawn Lawrence, Jay Hardy. A lot of these guys in state we've been talking about, he's friends with them, and you're starting to see some of those dominoes fall. The question is, how many more are going to fall for Tennessee? Can they get Hardy? Can they get Tyler Barron? Chris Morris out in Memphis, Amari Thomas, the Ripke kid out in West Tennessee, Reggie Grimes Jr., who they're more involved with now than they were a month ago. If Tennessee could clean sweep those guys, they would have an absolute home run in the state of Tennessee. But they're off. They've got that thing off and rolling. And I think Keyshawn Lawrence is a big key to that because he's got so many relationships with so many guys across the state, and people seem to gravitate to him. So I think landing him helps with the T. Hodges. It helps with Tyler Barron. It helps with Jay Hardy, and all those things for Tennessee is a positive.
Give us a couple more guys to watch for, maybe nationally, even outside the state.
Well, everybody wants to see what Rakeem Jarrett's going to do, the wide receiver from out in Maryland that's been here a couple of different times. You know, I don't think he's going to make necessarily an early decision, but I think Tennessee and T. Martin have poised them to put themselves in a good position with him right now. Maryland's going to be, I think, the biggest competition. He's committed to LSU, but I don't see LSU in the end being a destination for him. His parents have not been down there very much. They've been to Tennessee multiple times, as mom has. T. Martin's worked that one really hard. That would be a big, huge get for Tennessee, one of the best receivers in the country. Haynes King is the quarterback from Longview, Texas, who's been at the Elite 11 this week, and Haynes has performed extremely well out there. Tennessee, Texas A&M for him. He was hoping to make a decision last week, could not get to the point of making a final decision, so he's kind of delayed that. There's no real timetable right now. Interestingly, A&M last night got the fourth-ranked quarterback in the class of 2021 to commit, who's out of Denton, Texas, a guy Tennessee was recruiting. You wonder if that affects Haynes King. King is the guy that Jim Chaney went and saw the first day he was on the job at Tennessee. When he got here and got settled and went on the road for the first time, that's the first place he went. Haynes has thrown for Jim for the last 3 years when he was at Georgia and then at Tennessee this year. Jim's a big fan of his, clearly. And so that would be, you know, a nice get for Tennessee. They would like two quarterbacks in this class. They've got Harrison Bailey, who's done well in Marietta, Georgia. King's probably got a little higher upside. Haynes does not have the quarterback guru coaches and all those things. He's really kind of an unpolished quarterback at this point, but has a huge upside. So there's a couple of guys there. Still certainly looking for defensive linemen, but I think with defensive linemen, it starts in state. If you're looking out of state, Jacoby Cowan is a defensive end from over in North Carolina. It's got Ohio State, Georgia, Tennessee. He's supposed to come back in late July, which is big. Tennessee needs to get him back on campus. They haven't had him here since April. They've lost a little momentum there, but they could certainly get that momentum back. Outside linebacker B.J. Olamare from down in Marietta, Georgia as well, teammates with Harrison Bailey. That's another one I think Tennessee's heavily involved in, and they've got a good shot pretty good shot at getting him right now.
What about the summer Jarrett Garantano's having? This is going to be his team. This could be his year. You know, what have you seen or heard that could or should make Tennessee fans excited?
Well, it's a great question, Mark. And you know, one thing about Jared's always had confidence. He's always believed in himself. He's always carried himself with whatever that word is, swagger, or whatever you call it. He has a different type of confidence right now. The confidence is not as much in his physical skill. I think he has much more confidence in what's going on with the Tennessee program. Year two with Jeremy Pruitt, Jim Chaney, who he really likes and believes in. Chaney's going to give him more freedom. Chaney exudes confidence to his quarterbacks. That's why you've seen some quarterbacks be successful that you kind of scratch your head at why they've been successful. That's because Jim Chaney's, you know, giving them confidence to be successful and putting them in a position to win. So I think Jared knows that. I think Jared's carrying a different type of confidence with him. It's not about, hey, I'm really good. I've got a great arm. I've got all these physical tools. It's much more about, hey, this offense is going to be good because of what Jim Chaney is doing with us and some things that I'm individually improving on. But the cast and the scheme that we have, the answers I have, the problems that I see, I think carries a lot more confidence for him. And as a result, he's carrying this as his football team, doing a good job leading the 7-on-7 stuff, extra film sessions that he's doing with receivers on his own at night and different things like that. He knows this is a big year for him. He knows this is an opportunity year. Chance for him to really take a step forward. He's got some weapons around him that he believes in and thinks are pretty good weapons. And so as a result of that, I think this has been his best summer. Now, the offensive line's got to protect him. He's got to stay upright, got to get the ball out of his hands quicker and those types of things. But again, I think he will go into this August with less doubt about what's going on with this offense and who he has around him than he's ever had.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs. His website is volquest.com. More with Brent coming up in a moment. 8:28 the time. The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, 8:35. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have some fun with July instant games today. He's always got the look. He's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com.
Hubber, we always love to look back and play the what-if game, and I thought The Athletic had a great story a couple of weeks ago about Gary Patterson and how he wanted the Tennessee job after Fulmer was fired. And, you know, Mike Hamilton just didn't think he could handle, you know, the media, the spotlight. Boy, how history, you know, might be different now if he made that hire.
And Lane was still prepared for the media, right?
Yeah, he was. Exactly. That was a guy who had the deft touch with the media.
Well, I think that the thing is, when you look at history and you look at coaching changes around, you know, whatever sport it is, whatever level, many times the guy making the hire does 180-degree opposite of what they just had. Okay? If it's a defensive guru, okay, who's a coach who's a defensive guy, a lot of times they hire an offensive guy. If it's a guy who's kind of low-key, maybe a little gruff, you know, not the most polished guy in the world, then they'll go hire somebody who looks the part, who's a little bit more, I don't know if sexy is the right word, but a little bit more appealing that way, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's what happened at Tennessee. But you look at guys that Tennessee could have had when Philip Fulmer was fired. Gary Patterson, you know, obviously is one we're talking about. Doug Marrone, they could have had. A lot of guys who were similar to what Philip Fulmer was as a coach. And that's not what Mike Hamilton wanted. He had hired a guy in Bruce Pearl who was terrific with the media. He generated buzz. He had that word swagger. He didn't care to call somebody out or challenge somebody. And Mike liked that. And I think that that's what ended up happening and why Mike Hamilton wanted to go with Lane Kiffin. He was anti-Philip Fulmer. He was completely opposite of what Philip Fulmer was. And I think Mike felt like they needed some juice in the program from that standpoint, and that's what he wanted to do. And, of course, Lane gets the job. He comes to the press conference, and you know, he and Mike talk about it, and they call out Florida at the press conference, and it gets everybody fired up. And that's just not who Gary Patterson is. So, I mean, Gary, I don't know that it was that Gary Patterson couldn't handle the media. I don't think the personality of Gary Patterson was what Mike Hamilton wanted in a football coach at that time, because he wanted to get away from the Philip Fulmer style. And that's why they went with a guy like Lane Kiffin.
All right, let's shift to hoops. And a week ago, we were on Pins and Needles over where Kerry Blackshear was going to go, transferring out of Virginia Tech. Well, he gave Tennessee the pump fake, and he goes to Florida after, I guess, he talked to Kentucky and maybe even Auburn. But this could really have an impact, Brent, on what happens in the race in the SEC next season.
No question. Florida got a lot better. Florida was going to be a good basketball team. Young, you know, they're bringing in some young guys that we'll see how quickly Mike White can get them together. But Florida will be very talented. They will be picked by some people to win the conference in some publications and that type of thing, particularly with Blackshear there. Tennessee needs post help. They need immediate post help. That's why Blackshear was so important for them. I think in the end, staying close to home, his parents are in Orlando. I think his dad wanted him close to home. I think mom was fine with Tennessee, but dad wanted him closer to the house. Dad took an unofficial visit by himself to Florida to go hang out with Mike White, which tells you kind of where dad's, you know, was looking for and what dad wanted. And I think Kerry was okay kind of wherever, because look, I mean, he's going to go to class this fall semester. He'll not see a classroom in the spring. He'll finish out the basketball season and he'll be gone in April. You know, so he's going to live somewhere for about 8 months, 9 months, something like that. So, I think he was okay with it, and Florida's got a chance to make a run and be a tournament team and a team that's got some talent and the ability with the right draw to even make a deep run, and I think that was important for him. It's a tough blow for Tennessee because now you look at him and say, where's the post help coming from? They have to get Classics eligible to transfer from Arizona State. That is a must. With DJ Burns now transferring out, if you look at them in the post right now, they don't have much. Okay, you're talking about Zach Kent, who didn't get on the floor a year ago. You're talking about John Fulkerson. You're moving East Pond down, you know, on the block, and that's your three post players. So you've got to get the big kid from Arizona State eligible. He's got to win an appeal. And I think if you're Rick Barnes, you're looking out there to make sure there's not another transfer. There's not a JUCO player. There's not a guy from over, you know, across the pond somewhere that's available for you, because you need more help in the post. You don't have enough bodies in the post right now. And that's going to be a challenge for this team this fall if that doesn't happen. If they don't get Plaffage eligible and if they don't find another guy, I don't know how they're going to manage post play. They're going to be a four-guard team in a hurry.
What was behind the decision of DJ Burns to transfer?
You know, I think it was a mutual parting away. I don't think culturally Tennessee was necessarily the right fit for DJ Burns. I don't think Burns was the right fit for Tennessee. DJ had done a good job getting his body in shape. He'd lost a lot of weight. But I don't know that everybody in the program was elated with kind of how much DJ used the redshirt year to develop and kind of his focus and where basketball was and the priority it was there. And I just think DJ felt like it was a bad fit for him, and I think Tennessee didn't disagree with that notion, and I think the two agreed to part ways. And I look for him probably to land at maybe someplace like Wofford or Winthrop back over in the state of South Carolina, even though he's a young player who was highly rated coming out of high school. My guess is he probably transfers to somewhere like that as opposed to trying to go somewhere, at the Power 5 level. We'll see, but that would be my guess right now.
Brent, to finish up with football, SEC Media Day is only a couple weeks away. Does it feel like that maybe, when you get to Hoover and people start to ask questions and those predictions and things start to come out, that nobody really knows exactly what to expect out of this group?
About Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, the reality for this Tennessee team is, and we talked about this on the podcast yesterday because I asked my guys the question, what, give me an individual on the offense and the defensive side of the ball that needs to have a great July to finish this summer out. Who do they got to have? What individual? And we kind of talked about it a little bit, and really you don't come up with one individual. It's the offensive line and the defensive line. Because if they don't find solutions there with multiple people on in the line of scrimmage, in this league, you're not going to win. Haywood Harris told me this when I was in 94 when I was a young kid.
The great one.
If you can't run the dive play and you can't stop the dive play in this league, you're not going to win. And so there's not a greater truth that's been said about this conference. You can spread it out and throw it 75 times a game, but if you can't run it on third and short and make a first down and you can't stop somebody on third and short and force a punt, you have a hard time winning in this league. So I think the unknown with Tennessee, even though they're bringing a lot of parts back, what are they going to be in the line of scrimmage? Is Trey Smith going to play? Is Brandon Kennedy 100% healthy? Can those two freshman offensive tackles really play right out of the gate? What's their learning curve and growing pains going to be? On the defensive line, can Emmett Gooden be a disruptor consistently? Who do they get off the edge to replace Kyle Phillips? Kyle Phillips, Shia Tuttle, those guys, they ate up so many snaps last year. Who are going to take those snaps? Is it Mincy? Is it Garland? Is it the JUCO kids that came in? We just don't know at this point. And I think that's why there's so much unknown about Tennessee. And you're going to see some people look at Tennessee, they're bringing back 10 offensive starters or 9 offensive starters. And some people are going to pick Tennessee to win 9 football games. There'll be some other people that look at Tennessee and go, man, they're going to be lucky to be bowl eligible. And so I think you're going to see the predictions for Tennessee a little bit all over the map because there's so much uncertainty in the line of scrimmage. If you do a deep dive and look at Tennessee.
Brent, thank you as always. Enjoy the 4th. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. VolQuest.com, Brent Hubbs every week right here on the Wake Up Zone.
Haywood Harris, the late, great former, longtime former sports information director at Tennessee. What a fine gentleman.
All right, 844. This is the Wake Up Zone powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Could a new CBA for the NFL get done sooner rather than later? We'll discuss that when we come back. The show continues after this.
Zone.